with you about what's happening now. InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com/show and share the link today.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Maria Z. And yes, we absolutely are at war, humanity. Not only are they escalating us to potential nuclear war, but we are, humanity has a war being waged on it. And part of that war, of course, is the poisons that they put in our foods. Part of that war is the poison shots that they want to continue to roll out. The WHO says, oh, we're going to have more injections for bird flu. And of course, you know that their attempts for the IHR and the treaty somewhat failed this week. But if you haven't seen it yet on my Rumble, Maria Z, all one word, I did a broadcast last night and it's now up on the homepage of zmedia.com on an alternative backdoor document that the WHO has basically asked every single country to agree to. It's not legally binding like the treaty and the IHR, but this document is asking the world still to give authority to the WHO. So it's not over until it's completely over. But a huge part of exposing this assault on humanity involves paying attention to geoengineering or solar radiation management. Whatever you want to call it, they're spraying our skies and poisoning us through various means. And now there's been an admission from the UK government of it. In fact, my guest today is an investigative journalist and content creator. His name is Lewis Brackpool from the UK. He's done an FOI request and had stunning admissions from the UK government. He's going to talk to us about it today. Lewis, welcome.
Hello, thank you very much for having me. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Lewis. It's great to see you. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I came across this interview that you recently did with Jim Ferguson, started looking into your research, and I was absolutely astounded at the open admission now from the government. Yes, absolutely, we're geoengineering. This is great. And, you know, I mean, it's astounding to me. I actually found... myself through an investigation that I conducted, contracts in the US uploaded onto the NOAA's website some time ago, and this was damning at the time, but now we actually have admission from the government. So tell people a little bit about yourself and what you've uncovered.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, first of all, for having me on. You're one of the very few people, including Jim Ferguson, that you mentioned, that you saw, that actually wants to talk about this subject. So thank you very much. I really, really appreciate it. So my name is Lewis. I've been an investigative journalist for a couple of years now. I run mostly on X, Instagram, YouTube, Rumble, all of those. And I never believed in geoengineering. I never believed in the practice. I got to be honest, I was a bit of a normie at one point. I thought it was just some, you know, just run-of-the-mill conspiracy theory or whatever. But I recently saw a story come out of the US called, it's to do with the San Francisco Bay Marine Cloud Brightening Program that was very recently disclosed.tv aired the story, and it showed that the government was pushing salt crystals up into the atmosphere to brighten the clouds in order to stop or slow down the process of global warming. And the public was not admitted to this until the day that they decided to start the experimentation. And I thought, that's wrong. We need to look into this. So I decided to send off seven governmental departments or seven freedom of information requests to seven governmental departments here in the UK to see whether there was projects here. And what they sent me was quite incredible. We had two replies, one from the Met Office, which is the UK's weather forecaster, and the other was the UKRI, which is the United Kingdom Research and Innovation Council. Now, the Met Office, our weather forecaster, replied with a 25 publication sheet of all these different types of scientific publications done on geoengineering, solar radiation management, stratospheric aerosol injection. And the Met Office made it clear, we do not condone geoengineering, we're not part of geoengineering, but here are some research projects. And they say it's hypothetical cloud models. Now, when going through these publications, because a lot of the time people will see that and say, oh, there's nothing there. But one of the first was all to do with the Paris Climate Agreement and in context with temperature goals, Agenda 2030, all of that nonsense. And the reply, or the if you go through this particular sheet, you could see that they were citing real experimentation within these hypothetical, quote-unquote, data analysis runs. So I thought, okay, that's a bit strange. I asked for funding, and the Met Office in particular was receiving 150K from the United Kingdom government and other different departments. But there was a United States NGO called Silver Lining, to which I'd never heard of this NGO before. And looking at it, if you go on their website, you can see under the Equity tab that they have a Young Global Leaders Initiative, which immediately, as soon as I saw Young Global Leaders Initiative, we know World Economic Forum, so checked there. And the executive director, Kelly Wanza, has ties to the Pritzker family, who have donated to this NGO, who has co-written articles on geoengineering, one titled on the World Economic Forum's website called Can We Geoengineer Our Way Out of Climate Change? And it shows all different types of techniques, such as stratospheric aerosol injection, such as marine cloud brightening, and even space initiatives by putting up big disks into the sky to try and reflect sunlight. All of these crazy ideas, yet they were handing over $200,000 to the Met Office alone. Now, on the UKRI, the Research Council, they admitted that there was over 327 geoengineering projects that were being funded through universities, and an extra 7 results if you type in through their gateway system, stratospheric aerosol injection. Now, when I asked, I want to see physical experimentation rather than just these climate models, the reply that I had was actually, there might be some physical experimentation within this 327 projects that are being funded through British universities. And I thought, right, well, I need to get to work and put this information out there and get people having a look at it, basically.
So they said that there might be, but they haven't specified exactly which projects are currently being undertaken. And I know that you have requested further information from them. What I was quite impressed about with you, Lewis, was there's a lot of people talking about this. Obviously, the skies don't look right. This is the acceleration of the activity in the skies. The, you know, GT stripes in the skies has certainly increased post or during and post COVID. It's unbelievable. Yes. It's impossible to see a clear sky these days, at least in Australia. I don't know what it's like everywhere else. When I was in the United States, it was shocking in Texas and Florida. I mean, you know, just grids everywhere. More and more people are paying attention to this. You've actually done something about it. You've gotten this, submitted this FOI request and gotten an admission. I wanted to play a clip of Jim Haywood at the Met Office. He's the Aerosol Research Manager team. If you can cue that clip up, and what he actually says about some of the risks of this technology.
Carbon dioxide removal is often thought of as a relatively benign kind of geoengineering because you're simply reducing the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. It's not quite as simple as that because a lot of the land that would be used for general agricultural practices like they are at the moment would have to be converted into land for specific growing of biomass burning. So there's certainly some ecological implications that are associated with CDR. Solar radiation management, the main conclusions that are coming out of the solar radiation management studies is that you cannot get a no temperature change Earth, no global mean net temperature change, without there being some regional side effects. So although you can hold the temperature of the Earth fixed at, say, present day conditions, you will get regional responses in both temperature. For instance, the poles will warm up more than the equator, and you will also get impacts on precipitation.
It's just astounding to me because this gentleman is obviously, you know, he doesn't even seem like a bad guy. And he's talking about some of these risks, you know, he's talking about some of these risks, the risks associated with carbon dioxide removal, solar radiation management, the regional responses to this. Of course, we actually have a rainmaking legislation in Australia. And as part of that, it actually says that adjoining states, even though it only happens in the state of Victoria, adjoining states can be affected by it. Of course, you know, rainmaking isn't the only thing that they do in terms of cloud seeding. But I find it fascinating that this assistant aerosol research manager, sorry, at the Met office is openly talking about all of these risks associated with it. I wonder whether through your FOI you found projects involving carbon dioxide removal or solar radiation management, considering they're risky.
I did find all of this. They within the 25 publications, the Met Office actually cited. What was interesting is I got to about the 10th one, I'll be honest, and I wanted to just blow my brains out because it's such boring jargon, so forgive me. But the first 10 going through, I saw an immediate pattern, and the pattern was that it isn't safe, and exactly what this gentleman was saying. It has regional effects, and even it talked about harmful effects to humans. I mean, the idea of throwing sulfur up into the atmosphere to recreate a volcanic eruption, it's not going to be good if you're going to continue to keep doing that over a region or over a populace. So it is quite sinister in that way. And same with that Silver Lining NGO. I forgot to mention that on this website, Silver Lining, the executive director, Kelly Wanzer, has actually put out a quote on the website, and you can read it for yourselves and the audience can read it for themselves. She explicitly states that they do not have enough information to say whether this is safe and whether these types of practices are actually safe in the long term. So there's so many questions left unanswered with regards to this. And of course, this will be an ongoing investigation through myself and various other people have pulled together to want to help, which is fantastic. I've got some pilots as well that's been part of either the RAF and commercial as well, excuse me. And they've been looking into it as well. And they've been looking into other factors with regards to grids, like you mentioned earlier, within the sky and just trying to figure out what's going on. But the key message that has come back from this is there is research, there is millions and millions of pounds just in the UK alone through universities funding projects all to do with this. And they've all come to around the same conclusion that they still don't believe it's safe and they don't have the long-term implications to suggest that it is safe. And that is a big concern considering that so much money is being pumped into this and there's so much hype within the climate alarmist community to want to get involved in climate intervention.
Yes, and I recall, see, nothing's changed, Lewis, in terms of them not being able to assure the public about whether it's safe or not, because it's not. And so they keep this position of, oh, we're just not sure, because later on down the track, they all say, oh, you know, plausible deniability. We did the best that we could with the information we had at the time, just like health officials are doing now when everyone's dropping dead. But yeah. I watched a documentary quite some years ago by Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org. I think it was either Franken Skies that I saw it on or The Dimming. I don't know. Yes. Anyway, in his documentary, he's talking to this, you know, geoengineering advocate. I wish I could remember the guy's name now. And he basically says, well, we don't really know what the risks are. We're just riding on the coattails of our grandkids. I mean, these people are mad scientists. And, you know, team, if you don't mind just going full screen for a moment for me, this investigation that I did, this is up on zmedia.com. I know Lewis doesn't like the word chemtrails, but we're going to use it here. I did this investigation in June of 2023. And this features all of the geoengineering projects listed on the NOAA's website, buried deep, deep, deep on the NOAA's website. It shows you projects happening in Utah, Colorado, all over Texas, California, everywhere, everywhere. This literally could be used, in my opinion, in lawsuits, the evidence contained within that report. And so please, if you haven't seen it, go to zmedia.com, type in smoking gun on the interviews page. It's also up on our band.video channel. So, this is not new, Lewis, but as with anything, we need more evidence piled on to be able to do something about it. And that's what you've done here. I'm interested in this Silver Lining company because what I did find when I was digging around in for Australian geoengineering projects, they have done cloud seeding and things of this nature, but there was also a company that was based in Switzerland doing the geoengineering from Jordan, making it rain in Australia. And at the time, I mean, no one knew about it. So they're doing from Jordan, making it rain over here. I mean, and that was 2016, I believe it was. So how much more advanced is their technology now? I'm keen to know about some of these players, and Silver Lining is obviously a key player in the UK. Some of these players that are doing this behind the scenes without the public knowing, perhaps even internationally, because they're a US company involved in the UK.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned some great examples there as well. There's one within the UK is a very famous example of RAF rainmakers in 1952. Even The Guardian done a spread about it back in 2001 and explained about how the RAF was seeding down in a place called Lynmouth, which is on the coast near Devon. And it created a flash flood which killed 30 people. And people wanted an inquiry about this, and this was going on for years, but they were obviously hailed as conspiracy theorists, of course, and it was later declassified that the RAF actually admitted this. And you see this sort of pattern over the years or over the decades of slowly declassifying this sorts of information as we go. And I mean, this was 1952. So like you mentioned earlier, the technology has obviously changed over these decades. And I decided, I mean, it's a long shot, but I might as well give it a go. I sent another Freedom of Information request to the cabinet, so the government and the Ministry of Defense, to request for any weather modification to be declassified within the last, historically, is what I've asked. And I've asked for the steps to take in order to acquire this. And I think from what I was doing some research on how to declassify these documents is you need a big public backing, meaning it needs to be within the public interest. And now a lot more people within
Lewis,
the UK, within
sorry,
Europe.
We're about to go to break. I just saw the timer. Forgive me. We've got like 10 seconds on the clock. Right after the break, I want to talk about what it is that they require to declassify this and how the people can fight back. Don't go anywhere. This is so vital. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Maria Z of zmedia.com. The mainstream media is openly reporting on the fact that we have more gloomy news. White House says it's open to plan that would block the sunlight from hitting the surface of the earth in bid to limit global warming. These people are destroying our agriculture. Farmers all over the world are reporting struggling with their crops. They want to destroy every facet of life. And this is just another aspect of the war on humanity. It's geoengineering. It's solar radiation management. Imagine wanting to remove the sun that God put on this earth for a reason. The vitamin D is crucial for human beings to absorb. From the sun. We're going to block it out and we're going to just cover everything in nanotech and make the world metal and connect it to the Internet of Things. I mean, these people really, really are crazy. But my guest today, Lewis Brackpool, has done a fantastic job with an FOI request that's come back with astounding admissions from the UK government. Lewis, right before the break, you were talking about the what basically people needed to do in order to access more information, or perhaps I'm butchering that. Please continue with what you were saying before the break.
That's okay. Once again, thank you so much for having me on. And yeah, so in regards to freedom of information requests and trying to declassify certain documentation with regards to weather modification, I'm also in the process, and I know it sounds like a bit of a stretch, but I'm in the process of trying to declassify more documents with regards to weather modification historically. So I've said, I'll just read out what I've just sent. It says, I'm seeking information on the following. Number one, declassification of documents. Please provide details on the procedures and criteria used by the Cabinet Office for declassifying documents related to government activities in the field of weather modification. Specifically, I'm interested in understanding the process for reviewing and releasing classified documents to the public. So I want to try and figure out what it is and how, if you need a public backing, if you need a campaign behind this, because now that geoengineering, weather modification and all of these types of practices are becoming, I hate to say it, mainstream, and that more people are starting to want to talk about this a lot more. We've seen recently in Dubai with the floods, and of course the Dubai government actually having a cloud seeding program. We've seen it in Saudi Arabia. You mentioned about Australia as well. The United States has a massive seeding program over there. In the UK, I'm not quite sure if we have a program as such, but there is evidence to suggest that there is just so much more to uncover, especially with all of these publications sent to me in terms of research. And of course, what the universities are paying or pumping through tens of millions into stratospheric aerosol injection research projects, along with geoengineering and solar radiation management, marine cloud brightening, and of course carbon capture as well is all the rage.
Yes, all the rage, and yet we need carbon is the gas of life. We remove that from the atmosphere, what exactly is life on planet Earth going to look like? Probably Bill Gates 3D printed meat, I guess. I mean, what exactly is going to be left that's living on this earth? These people are insane, Lewis.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And to see it all uncover as well is just, I mean, unbelievable. I mean, like I was telling you earlier, I didn't actually believe in this personally. It wasn't sort of a subject that I wanted to really sort of put my foot in. But now, after sending this FOI request, just out of curiosity, it's all come back, and I've just been completely blown away with what I've been sent. So there's a lot more to uncover, and that's just what they're giving me that's now within the public domain. So that's what's interesting about it too, is that's just what they're letting on via this. And they say it's very easy to access all of these types of gateways. For example, I was explaining in the first part of the show about the UKRI, the United Kingdom's Innovation and Research Council, was showing a gateway of all the different types of projects, 327 projects, and an extra 7 when you type in stratospheric aerosol injection. And when asked, can you provide me some real experimentation? They said, well, within these 327 plus the extra 7, there may be some physical experimentation, but going through 327 projects is quite the task. So they've put it up on their gateway for people to access. And I've made a video recently on my channel where you guys can go and have a look. And I've, of course, put the links in for people to go and delve in for themselves, because it's quite a huge task. And doing that by myself is it's very intense.
Yeah, look, when I came across the NOAA database, I tried to rapidly download everything in case they removed it, especially after I did that report on what was on their website, because generally, and I mean, this has happened time and time again, I'll report on something and then all of a sudden it comes down. And so, and then, you know, you have to go through web archive and sometimes even then you can't find it. So but it seems like they're very open to it. I mean, there's the Met Office openly talking about it. They're going through this normalization period where, yes, as you said, it's sort of becoming mainstream now. And it's happening in every single country. I actually want to give a shout out to Slovakia Geoengineering on Instagram. Great, great human and great account. I actually became aware of the NOAA data through that account, and they do some great research and posting on this matter. So if you're on Instagram, follow Slovakia Geoengineering. So I want to talk to you about this silver lining company, Lewis, because, like I said before, they're not the only ones, but some of the reasons why they're so sinister, of course, are their ties to the WEF. You mentioned that the US has projects happening in Australia. What have you uncovered there?
So with regards to Silver Lining, this tiny or seemingly tiny little NGO that you guys can all look for yourselves has a lot of power, wealth and influence behind it with regards to climate intervention projects. They actually recently announced a $20.5 million for it's almost like a funding for governance and equity for these initiatives, for these climate intervention projects, as well as they have ties
equity
to the US
Congress.
So
everyone
Congress.
Gets sprayed and poisoned equally. Let's be equitable about it. Sorry, Lewis. It's just it infuriates me.
I know. It's awful. And having to read through it and then just saying it like it's a completely wonderful, amazing thing, whilst even putting that we don't have enough information that this is safe. It was a wonderful read. This also seemingly small NGO has ties to Congress, where they've put forward a sort of a research plan and governance kind of bill to Congress, which of course shows all the different types of stratospheric aerosol injection or geoengineering type techniques that I mentioned earlier, that was co-written for the World Economic Forum on there. Can we geoengineer our way out of climate change? They showed the same or similar types of techniques within this Congress bill, which you can check out. I've of course linked that underneath my video too. And also they've received a lot of funding from the well-known Pritzker family through the Pritzker Innovation Fund on this actual NGO. And there was one thing as well. I was hoping I didn't want to see this guy's name, but unfortunately he did crop up. But the executive director wrote an article on her LinkedIn talking about how it was praising Bill Gates and how he's endorsed these practices from his book. And I just knew as soon as I saw Bill Gates's name, I thought, great, of course, this man is just relentless in trying to fund absolutely anything relating to whether it be vaccines, farms, and now, of course, climate intervention techniques such as spraying chemicals within the sky to, I don't know, stop global warming or block out the sun, like you've mentioned earlier. It's psychopathic. It's absolutely deranged.
It is psychopathic. Team, do we have time before the next break to play that clip of Bill Gates that I've sent through? I really just want to give him some airtime to remind everyone what a sick, sick psychopath he is.
Gates is backing the first high-altitude experiment of one radical climate change solution, creating a massive chemical cloud that could cool the Earth. It's called solar geoengineering, and it's highly controversial.
How long will it be that countries keep experiencing these climate impacts before someone gets desperate and says, hey, we need to cool the planet with solar geoengineering?
It would look something like this. Thousands of planes would fly very high and use nozzles to inject millions of tons of light-reflecting particles into the stratosphere. It would create a thin chemical cloud of those particles around the whole planet, blocking some sunlight from reaching the surface. It would mimic a giant volcanic eruption, which we know cools the Earth.
Oh, it looks like the clip's over. All right, so the thin chemical cloud, mimicking a giant volcanic eruption. You spoke about this earlier, Lewis, and you made such a good point that it's not positive or good for humans to constantly live under the conditions of a giant volcanic cloud. I mean, something like that happens, you know, it eventually dissipates. We're talking about a perpetual state of breathing in, you know, toxic chemicals, and they are toxic chemicals. They are dangerous chemicals that they are spraying both from the ground operations and plane operations. But, you know, they're saying they don't even guarantee that it will cool the Earth. They say it could cool the Earth. But let me tell you, Lewis, I keep asking people from all over the world, and some people say, yeah, it's been really hot lately, but most people are telling me that it is significantly colder than it ever is at a certain time of year for them. In Australia, we haven't had a proper summer for, I can't remember the last time. You know, we used to have 50 degrees Celsius at times summers. That it has reached those levels, you know, 45 degrees, 46 degrees Celsius in summer. I haven't seen those temperatures in years. What's the case in the UK?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because in April the BBC and all of these publications were writing articles saying April was the hottest month since 1942 or 47, and it was the wettest month that a lot of people have actually ever experienced. And on top of that, all we got was overcloud. And I think we got only 2 days of actual sunshine, or it felt like that anyway. But they claimed it was the most, it was the hottest day on record since 42 or 47. And we were all sort of looking at each other, me and a couple of my friends reading these articles going, what are they even on about? And even speaking to normies about this, they were even saying, well, hang on a minute, no, we've not experienced that. So the anecdotal is, or the anecdotal evidence is starting to mount up that there is something going on, and that there are legitimate questions to be asked.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And I think you're right. Even normies are noticing something is wrong here. You know, the weather's not the same. What are all these funny lines in the sky? More and more people are starting to actually be open to it. And it's because the conversation's entered the mainstream. And so, like we said before, they've just sort of tried to slip it in to normalize it. Oh, we're just going to, you know, line the sky with chemicals and you'll all be fine. I mean, this is an absolutely, perhaps the most egregious thing that they're doing, Lewis, and I'll explain why. It's worse than mandating injections, because that you can refuse, but you can't refuse to breathe. And it's happening everywhere.
Yeah. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. That's not something to laugh at. It's just so absurd that I don't know how to react to that sort of thing. Another thing I should mention quickly as well is public awareness and consent. I asked for public awareness and consent and any communications to the public via or for these particular projects as well by the Met Office and the UKRI. The UKRI got back to me and said that there was one public, I don't know what it was, like a conference consultation, which had 84 members of the public and with lots of scientists. I think it was over 70 scientists. This was back in 2011. Once it was made. So I don't count that. Oh, and sorry, I forgot to mention BBC Radio 4 did a program on this particular consultancy, and that counted as public awareness and consent. Yeah, I don't think so. So seeing this is it's just sinister the way that they can try and get around this. Is yeah, conducted 2011 with 85 participants, 74 experts and stakeholders, and then the media coverage emerged 3 years later on a BBC Radio 4 Today program in November 2014. So I don't consider that as a broadened way of getting public consent and informity over geoengineering and stratospheric aerosol injection. I mean, it's just insane.
And it's egregious that we have to get to the point of saying, well, this isn't really consent. You haven't really informed people that you're spraying them with, you know, chemicals that are carcinogenic, and they can't avoid breathing in. To think that we're at this point worldwide, under such assault in our skies, is beyond me. But this is just an extension of all of the different ways that they're attacking us. Lewis, if you'll bear with me for a moment on the topic of that consent, you know, this is how they do this. The United Nations puts out a book, Remaking the World Towards an Age of Global Enlightenment. They tell everyone, oh, we've entered everyone into a new social contract and you're all now objects inside the AI world society with no human rights. Where was the public consultation for that? I'll tell you where. The Boston Global Forum did a couple of YouTube clips where they spoke to a couple of researchers from MIT, said we'd really love to do AI in judiciary, replace the judicial system with AI. The MIT researchers say, no, that's a red line. We can't do that. The guy from the Boston Global Forum says, we're probably going to do it though. Like, can't you see the benefits? The MIT researchers say, no, we actually, that is a red line. And he goes, all right, we'll move on. Oh, that's it. Public consent done. I mean, this is just, it's criminal. It's criminal how they go about these things, Lewis, which is why I'm just really cheering you on, because particularly in Australia, we've had such a difficult time getting to the bottom of who's doing this in our country. And I've dug, believe me, I've dug. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, what else you're expecting to find, anything else that people need to know. And then I have some questions for you about the state of affairs in the UK before we finish up today.
Sure. Yes. So like I mentioned earlier, I'm waiting for another Freedom of Information request back from the Cabinet and the Ministry of Defence to try and see how we can sort of declassify documents relating to weather modification, because I think it is within the public interest. I think more and more people, like we keep talking about in this show, that more people are becoming more aware of this and are actually open to talking about it without any scrutiny, without getting, you know, pillared or, you know, whatever online. And of course, it's like we've talked about, it's become mainstream. So more and more people are open to campaigning. More and more people are opened to, of course, just having a broader discussion regarding the risks of this, the health risks, going over publications as well. So it is within the public interest to do this. So I'm hoping to get a good reply on this. The Department for Net Zero within the government, I believe, have sent something very recently. I still need to go over this. So they have sent some other information. Whether this information is extensive to what I've already been given, then great. I can definitely go through that and make another video. If not, of course, I'll be transparent and show that as well. But it's now a bit of a limbo waiting game, really, which is the worst place to be in, because you want to find out information. You want to get that out as fast as possible to get more and more people aware. But unfortunately, myself and other people that are interested in helping uncover this, excuse me, we'll just have to be a little bit patient.
Yeah, well, that's what it takes. You're dealing with government departments, public servants, and they like to take their time and really stretch out that, you know, we'll get back to you within 28 days. It's always on the 28th day, it seems. But yeah. I'm really, really grateful for your approach to this, Lewis. You know, the fact that this was something that wasn't, you know, you weren't necessarily sure of, your curiosity peaked, and then you went to all this effort. It's really amazing. People can follow you at @Lewis_Brackpool on X. And I will bring up your socials again before we finish, but I really just want to ask you about the state of affairs in the UK. Rishi Sunak and, you know, even the Conservative Party wants to bring back national conscription. I feel like that there's absolutely no way that there are any normal people that would go and die for these globalist wars, you know, to enrich the military-industrial complex. I don't foresee this succeeding. What are your thoughts? You know, how are the people in general, you know, the wider population, how do they feel about the British government?
Well, the Conservative Party in Britain is not the Conservative Party. They're essentially liberals. They're all part of the liberal establishment. There is a class within the establishment I call the activist class, which has taken over the civil service and all sorts of governmental departments to push through whatever it is they want, whether it be open borders and all sorts of nefarious policies. Our borders are wide open. So many people are coming across the channel and, of course, in lorries into the UK and are not being turned away. And nobody is being deported at all. Illegal migrants just continue to come into the country, and nothing really is being done about it. So the cheek of the conservative, quote unquote, government to even introduce some form of national service for young people, no thanks. And a lot of people have taken a big sort of aggressive stance against this, and good. Because like you said earlier, nobody wants to fight for these globalist wars anymore. We're sick and tired of sending billions and billions of pounds to Ukraine. We're just absolutely sick and tired of this continuation of the military-industrial complex when there is so much happening within our own country. And I think I speak on behalf of quite a lot of people. I don't like to do that, but people are just absolutely sick and tired of this. And to see it to see them gleefully just come out, especially Rishi Sunak, just to come out and just say, yeah, we want to bring up a type of national service that young people can get involved. It wasn't so long ago that they were talking about conscription and talking about, you know, floating the idea of conscription because it was escalating within Ukraine. And this, you know, the bastion of democracy is what it's always been called. Boris Johnson recently flying the flag of the Azov battalion within Parliament and welcoming them as heroes. I mean, I'm sick and tired of it. So to see that, it's just grotesque. I think it's a spit in the face of the public. And they're just not a serious party, and neither is the opposition. I'm not going to be voting for any major party. I'll be voting for an independent party if I even do decide to get up and vote. And I completely empathize with people who aren't going to vote. But I won't be going anywhere near these mainstream parties because they all have the same interests and we are sick and tired of it.
Yeah, I think that sentiment is growing worldwide, Lewis. People are absolutely sick and tired of it. You go onto any politician's comments section and it's just hate. And so they really are losing control of the public opinion. They're losing control of public perception. Everyone hates them. I just cannot foresee anyone agreeing to go and die for a globalist war. And so all of these countries, these pipe dreams about conscription, they've spoken about it in Australia, Germany, all over the place. They're not going to succeed. People are not going to comply with this. And that really is the motto, do not comply, for pretty much everything the government says these days. Lewis, I am really, really grateful for your time and for your work. Please let people know where they can follow your work.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate that. You can follow my work on X, Lewis_Brackpool. You can follow me on YouTube. Same thing. If you type my name in, Lewis Brackpool, you can subscribe to the channel there. Rumble as well. Instagram, unfortunately, I use as a mainstream platform. And I'm on Telegram as well if you want to keep yourself updated.
Well, it's an info war. We push out the information where we can. Those globalist tools are still tools that we can use against their machine. Lewis, thank you so much for your time today. God bless. It was good to see you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. Stay up to date with all of tomorrow's news today on Infowars.com. Please make sure to support InfoWars by purchasing items from InfoWarsStore.com or DrJonesNaturals.com. I will see you next week.
When we came out with Nitric Boost 3 years ago, it was a sleeper product. I didn't even promote it. But as listeners began to use it, it has become one of our top-selling products because of the incredible results they get. If you want to give your cardiovascular system a leg up, if you want to go in and help clean out and purify your blood, ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost is the way to go. You've heard Dr. Judy Mikovits talk about how it's an amazing formula. This is what she's recommended to people. Ladies and gentlemen, it does so many great things. Like, but you notice what happens in the morning if you're a man. I feel like I'm 16 years old again.
When I was 16, I'd already had probably, I hate to brag, so I'm not bragging, it's actually shameful, probably 150 women or more. That's conservative.
Nitric Boost is simply amazing. It's great for women as well. Get yours today at InfoWarsStore.com for 40% off. But that is a limited time sale. But right now, it's 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And I thank you all for your support.